Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Authentic Self-Care with Nancy Stevens. Nancy discovered the importance of authentic self-care several years ago when she found herself so busy attending to everyone else's needs that her own care became her lowest priority. After struggling to make time for herself, she made it to her first yoga class, and her world completely changed for the better. Tune in today to find out how to live a life that's balanced, nourishing, and fuels your passion. Please welcome Nancy Stevens. Back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul listeners. I hope all of you are doing well, no matter what hour of the day it is where you are at. I'm Nancy, and it is, as always, a pleasure for me to be here with you today, joining in your energy, giving you my energy, and sharing what I hope to be helpful, thought-provoking, inspiring content to help you awaken your authentic self-care in all areas, physical, spiritual, relational, financial, emotional. There is many, many components, all of them separate yet together for our beautiful self-care. A little bit about me before we get started for my sharing today. I'm Nancy Stevens. I'm the host of Authentic Self-Care with Nancy. If you want to find a little bit more about me, you're going to simply go to the newsforthesoul.com. You'll click on the link that shows all of the beautiful hosts on News for the Soul. Scroll down, you'll see my smiling face and my show name, Authentic Self-Care with Nancy. If you click on that, you'll see a listing and archive of all of my previously recorded shows, and this one will be there as well. And you'll be taken to a page where it will give you information for you if you want to know more about me or give me a shout-out for today's show notes, to go to my website, which is nancystevenscoaching.com. So that little information blurb on newsforthesoul.com will give you information about how to email me, where you can find me, and go to my personal playground, my website. I'm also available on social media, Instagram, nancystevenscoaching.com. So that's how you can connect me. I enjoy helping, inspiring, and supporting and connecting with all of you. And in this vast, beautiful world that we live in, there's just so many ways for all of us to connect, share, and reach out, whether we are rubbing elbows with each other or we live miles across the ocean. So I am here for you. My journey of finding who I was came about by me stepping in abundantly and authentically into how to nurture myself for my self-care. And that is my hope and joy to share with you today and all of my shows here. Well, on today's show, I'm going to unpack with you something that's very important but often overlooked, and that is the importance of sleep hygiene, the scientific implications of all things sleep and sleep-related. I don't know about you, but when I do not get a helpful, healthy rest, it seems to take place in gently eroding all areas of my life. Now, I can certainly go a day, maybe 2 days, depending on what's going on, without a super good night's rest. But I have found if I am not sleeping well over time, it really impacts my ability to focus, problem solve, regulate, and just feel good in general. And with as much information that is out there and all the natural and chemical sleeping aids, we know that alone tells you that this is sleep is a big deal. And that's what I'd like to share. I'd like to kind of dive in with some fact-based content and then wrap the show up today with some science-backed sleep tips that may get your creative juices stirring, maybe things you tried, maybe not, to help you connect to your authentic self-care. And as I said, sleep is one of the major elements of having that beautiful authentic self-care. So some of the information I'm sharing to me, to give to you, from the Mindful magazine. I love this publication. It always has beautiful, helpful articles. And so what I'm sharing is not mine, but is coming to me from Mindful magazine, mindful.org. And I just wanted to give a shout out for this amazing article. So basically, each of us have what's called a master clock inside us. It's tucked away deep inside our brain. And this expert timekeeper, it keeps all of the cells in our bodies running smoothly. It protects us from chronic disease and helps us to have deep, rejuvenating sleep. To keep these systems ticking along, this internal clock, our master clock, relies on a steady diet of healthy habits and mindful routines. So to keep our smoothly, it relies on a healthy, steady diet of healthy habits and mindful routines. Unfortunately, in today's world, as I learned from my own self, steadiness and routines can be hard to come by. And if you are living in today's world, what with all of the things going on with the 2020 pandemic, what's playing out now, state of politics, race, religion, you name it, our attention is distracted, divided, trying to handle the day-to-day as well as staying connected to all of the things on the world stage that creates a level, an undercurrent of stress, whether a lot or a little. And what that can do is impact your sleep. Maybe when you are involved and distracted by everything that's going on, as it relates to you personally or on a world scale, you may find that you're disconnected from handling and caring for your physical, emotional needs, less or more. And that, again, all of that can funnel in on how you sleep nightly. So what we do know is that all of our cells, tissues, and organs rely on these internal daily rhythms, that the cycle of sleep and wake. And what these cycles are is our circadian clocks. So the rhythm of sleeping and waking, light and dark, that we go by is a circadian clock. And that is what is used to keep our bodies running smoothly and in peak health under the watchful eye of the master clock. And these internal daily clocks rely on routines and timing in order to keep ticking for our optimal health. So the master clock is headquartered in the suprachiasmatic nuclei, SCN, in the brain's hypothalamus. There are peripheral clocks located all over the body, in the heart, lungs, kidneys, pancreas, and they are synchronized with the master clock through both hormonal and neuronal signals. These clocks make up our circadian system, which controls the functioning of each bodily process, including sleep, metabolism, hormone release, alertness, blood pressure, heart function, cognitive function, and the immune and reproductive systems. Wow. So that's a pretty vital and key piece of element. So our internal clocks rely on routines and timing in order to keep ticking for optimal health. The master clock handles the internal clocks, controlling, as I just shared, they're all over the body, controlling heart, lungs, kidneys, pancreas, synchronized with hormonal and neuronal signals, making up our circadian rhythm, and which controls the functioning of each bodily process, including sleep, metabolism, hormonal release, alertness, blood pressure, heart function, cognitive function, and the immune and reproductive systems. That is a lot to
together the circadian rhythm, synchronize most of our brain and body functions. I'll repeat that. Together, the circadian rhythms synchronize most of our brain and body functions. So the master clock in the brain is the conductor of the orchestra. The other clocks are the players fine-tuning local timing under the guidance of the CN, the suprachiasmic nuclei. Boy, I'm stumbling over that. So Dr. Stephen Lockley, an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, says that in order for our bodies to be in peak health, timing, rhythm, and habit are key. Timing, rhythm, and habit are key in order for our bodies to be in peak health. So guess what? This is within each one of our control. We need to do things at the right time. For example, eating in the day when our metabolic efficiency is optimal, and not at night when the brain is promoting sleep and fasting. So if you've got a topsy-turvy schedule where your nights are days and your days are nights, that is going to play with or mess with your circadian rhythm and hormones and weight loss. As humans, we've evolved to follow regular patterns of light and dark exposure. We need the sun's blue-enriched light during the day for alertness and activity, and the darkness to prime our sleep recovery and repair mode. We were not born to do all of our work at nighttime and sleep during the day. We were born to be in flow and rhythm, to do action-taking during the covering and light of daytime, and rest and recovery and repair during the covering of night. But the world has changed, and many places are open 24 hours a day, giving lots of people who need to or want to the ability to work at night, sleep during the day, or for those that are night owls, stay up really late. So there is many different factors that have messed with this circadian rhythm. And there it is laid out to us, that we have evolved to follow these regular patterns of light and dark, needing the sun's light to give us alertness and activity, and needing the darkness to prime our sleep recovery and repair mode. The key to healthy sleep and this circadian rhythm in this article is stable, regularly timed daily light and dark exposure. So I'll repeat that. The key to healthy sleep is stable, regularly timed daily light and dark exposure. These daily time cues are needed to reset our circadian clocks each and every day, which will not only determine how well we sleep, but our very cellular health. Wow, you didn't know that. I didn't know all of that. This is very impactful. Our sleep impacts everything we do at a cellular level and resets our circadian clocks. We need the difference of light and dark in our lives at a timed place so that when we sleep, we have that cellular repair and our bodies respond with alertness and the ability to take action and be active. What connects our internal circadian rhythms with the outside world is the light that enters through our eyes. So if you are awake with a little bit of light filtering, that's exactly what is needed to do. That's your body being in cue with daytime. So that healthy circadian rhythms rely on regularity and stability for the timing of light, timing of exercise, and timing of meals. Wow. So the strongest synchronizing agent stimulates a neural pathway to the master clock. This signals other brain regions and the peripheral clocks in the body that control hormones, body temperature, and other physiological processes. that help regulate when we feel sleepy or awake. Light is free for most of us, and you don't even have to go outside to get it. Says Dr. Phyllis Z, a professor of neurology and the director of the Center for Circadian Sleep Medicine at Northwestern University. Dr. Z was one of the authors of a recent study that showed office workers who had exposure to light through a window tended to have longer sleep duration, better sleep quality, greater physical activity, enhanced mood, and better quality of life compared to office workers with less light exposure. Ultimately, healthy circadian rhythms rely on regularity, as I said, and stability for the timing of light, for the timing of exercise, and timing of meals. This is so your body's physiology can anticipate what you're going to do and be prepared rather than reactionary. If you exercise too close to bedtime, for example, it can delay the timing of your rhythms, making it more difficult to fall asleep. Similarly, your blood pressure rises before you wake up in the morning. So if you get up at 2 a.m. in the morning, you're more likely to feel more unstable because your blood pressure didn't anticipate your need to get up. The circadian system is the top dog and regulates all of these systems, including sleep. Wow. I don't know about you, but my curiosity is piqued, very intense about how important and impactful to their deepest essence flowing out of sleep is, and how often we get caught up in wanting to do more, or with stress or lifestyle, we put off sleep, go to bed late, get up early, have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, allowing for so many things to impact our body. I know that young adults in our household have capacity to burn the candle at both ends at times, going to bed at well into the wee hours of the morning, but yet needing to get up early, and that because they're young, they're able to handle that for a while, but then they, when they've been given a break, become exhausted and can sleep for 12 to 15 hours as their body is trying to recover, which we now know, though, that that may help in the moment, but it does not necessarily recover all that missed quality full sleep time. So how does circadian rhythms impact our health? Well, so in this article, it continues to talk that in today's world, disruptions in circadian rhythms are common, like I said, as I shared, especially when we are overloaded and operating in react mode rather than mindfully making choices about our behavior. We override our natural rhythms by staying up late, using electric light, and eating any time of the night more than we. If you live in New York, for example, as you said, and stay awake 2 hours later than normal, it's as if you traveled two time zones west. Add a third hour on the weekend, and when you wake up on Monday morning, you have what's called social jet lag because your body clock is set to a different time zone, even though you never went anywhere. The more frequent the flip-flopping between light and dark, the more problems you will have with, quote, social jet lag and imperfect synchronization with the outside world. Stability is key. I'll repeat that again. Stability is key. Having a consistent, regular wake-up time and go-to-bed time or sleep time is key to stabilizing and enhancing your ability to feel awake, alert, productive, creative, free of major fatigue versus sleeping in really late on the weekends or staying up really late on the weekends and getting up late. And then, oh my gosh, Monday morning rolls around and I have to be up early for work meetings, Zoom calls, commute to work. And then you spend a day or two recovering from the weekend. And on the weekend, wow, I don't want to have this consistent schedule. I want to. So unfortunately, for some that have that flip-flop schedule, stability is key. Having a consistent and regular wake-up time, go-to-bed time, to feeling whole, thriving, abundant, and flourishing most all of the time. And yes, no one is perfect. There's just going to be times in life where we are going to need to get up super early, or we're going to stay up really late for social reasons or work reasons or anything in between. There's just going to be times when we are burning the candle at both ends, that our sleep has become disrupted, that we can't avoid that. However, if we are not being mindful of our time and we just have different bedtimes every night, well, maybe one night I felt tired and went to bed early, but the next night I got caught up in my show or work and I went to bed late, and then we keep flip-flopping when we go to bed, that's when the instability and the disruption to your body at a cellular level occurred. It manifests itself by weight gain, by fatigue, by having some health issues, by having anxiety or depression, or just always feeling not clear, brain fog, scattered, chaotic. So it manifests itself not only physically, but also emotionally as well. So that is a fascinating component that we can, maybe by really working on our sleep hygiene, we can undo some of these things that may seem permanent or have set themselves in. And I'm always in that. I know there's been periods of my life where I've had a lot on my plate with family or work, and I couldn't go to sleep or stay asleep. And maybe this went on for 2 or 3 months, and then I started just to feel physically sick. My emotional well-being was not good. I wasn't as productive. I was more quick to react, not able to see the big picture. And when things subsided and I began to put more emphasis on my sleep and then bringing in things to allow me to sleep well, then it's as if overnight these things that I was experiencing went away. So I've learned firsthand that amongst all the other good things we need to do for our self-care, sleep is key, and we can get away with not having good sleep hygiene for a while, or we can go through periods of not sleeping well, but long haul over time, having this disordered or disrupted sleep does have a toll on us, and it's just something for you to lovingly work on, not one more thing to feel guilty or frustrated or upset about, that if you are person that doesn't sleep well, it's not one more thing to do. It's just helping you to place your emphasis and loving awareness on to see what you can do to promote a more restful, balanced, healthy sleep, not another thing to do or a box to check off or, oh, I'm done for. But how can you lovingly and proactively emphasize and put awareness into doing all the best that you can, the best you can to shore up and have good sleep. So I'll continue reading. When we have those frequent sleep disturbances, nighttime screen use or high caffeine intake, our light exposure is thrown out of whack. The natural circadian rhythms of the body are reset to either speed up or slow down the internal clock, which influences all the systems that it controls. Extreme circadian instability, as seen with shift workers, such as nurses, doctors, transportation and factory workers, and first responders, can cause a variety of chronic health problems, increasing the risk of cardiovascular disease, impaired immune function, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, depression, and some forms of cancer. Most of the research on circadian disruption and health comes from looking at shift workers who typically work out of phase with their internal clocks, which can be off by as many as 12 hours. It is the continuing misalignment of their behavior from the clock, such as sleeping and eating at the wrong time, that leads them to develop. Shift workers adapt a little to the night shift, but not fully, and then they adapt back to the day shift, but not fully. And this lack of stability affects the cell processes, metabolism, hormonal levels, and many other systems, and that can be the cause of chronic disease. Helpful suggestions include minimizing the number of night shifts in a row, keeping the same sleep-wake schedule on your at-home days as your work days if possible, getting out or into the sun once you wake up, which will cue your biological clock that it's time to be alert, and staying away from alcohol as a sleep aid or other heavy chemicals that promote sleep. which may appear to calm the brain to fall asleep, but it will disrupt your sleep later. Melatonin has also been shown to help night shift workers sleep in the day, but should be taken, if anything, under your doctor's care. In non-shift workers, a similar thing happens, but it is less severe, and being off by as little as 2 hours of sleep regularly over time can affect our physiology and mental state. If you're chronically sleep deprived, it can affect your immune system, making you more vulnerable to infection and less able to mount an antibody response, says Dr. Z. Circadian rhythms out of sync, which can further exacerbate difficulties with attention, mood, and memory. All of this is just amazing how much sleep is tied to or lack thereof. Establishing a routine that recognizes the body's natural response to light and dark can help keep your circadian rhythms in sync. This means going to bed at the same time every night, trying not to eat 3 hours before bedtime, making sure you get sunlight exposure every day as best you can, trying not to reach for your phone if you wake in the middle of the night, and establishing a nightly wind-down routine that helps settle your body and mind, which would include tapering off the amount of light you're exposed to, getting off of electronics, TV, kind of taking a break as you get ready for bed. You may not be able to make all of these changes to your daily routine lifestyle, but being mindful, however, of your body's internal clock and modifying schedules to support your body's exposure to natural light and dark cycles can be very beneficial to your overall health. So here's that one cue. As much as you can, get outside every day to natural light, even if it's overcast or cold. Get outdoors as you can, weather allowing. This is available to most each and every one of us, and it can greatly impact you at a cellular level. Turn the lights out at regular time as best you can when it comes close to bedtime, and that means turning those screens off. If you are in bed with a laptop or a smart device or watching TV in bed or close to you, see if you can taper that down 30 minutes before going to bed, because that will start to tell the body, it'll be a habit or routine that tells the body it's time to begin preparing for the refreshing and renewal of sleep. So that is a very important fact. And why is sleep important? Well, as I said, it is the very foundation of setting our rhythm in our body at a cellular level. Experts haven't reached a consensus, another article, for why we sleep. Numerous indicators support the view that it serves an essential biological function. From an evolutionary perspective, the fact that sleep exists in almost all animal species, despite the fact that it creates vulnerability and takes time away from feeding or procreating, is a strong indication that it is fundamental to well-being. In humans, sleep appears to be critical to both physical and mental development. In babies, children, and young adults, a very big deal. In adults, a lack of sleep has been associated with a wide range of negative health consequences, including cardiovascular problems, a weakened immune system, higher risk to obesity and type 2 diabetes, impaired thinking and memory, and mental health problems like depression and anxiety can be thrown in there. These diverse ramifications of sleep deprivation offer strong support to the view that sleep doesn't have to be just one biological purpose, but in fact, through its complexity, is an important contributor to the functioning of nearly all of the systems of our body. Wow. So what we choose to focus our attention on, sleep hygiene, wanting to work to sleep, to improve sleep, promote sleep, impacts our very existence. And as we show up alert, productive, creative, we contribute to the well-being of the world, the workforce, our relationships, our spirituality. So again, what we first do to ourselves impacts all of the other things in our very lives. So it's not just us caring for ourselves, but it's as we care for ourselves, we have a huge impact on our work, our career, our finances, our relationships, our spiritual growth and development, our emotional health and well-being, how we relate and share and connect with others in a healthy, productive, positive, proactive way can be attributed to sleep. Maybe thinking that feeling very burdened or heavy about things known or unknown, if we are able to take a look, have I been sleeping well? Well, maybe the answer is no. I toss and turn. I wake up. I don't sleep well. I'm a mess. My mind doesn't shut off. Well, maybe if we're able to, again, get a really abundant night's sleep, these problems that we think we're having that feel really impactful will go away. I know that's been the case for me when I felt very weighed down with some depression or anxiety about things going on in my life. When I was able to pause and saw one of the things, oh, I'm not sleeping well. I haven't slept well for a month or two. Okay, well, what can I do to help myself promote a more healthy vital rest? When I was able to nourish and nurture my ability to move into a more improved and full sleep, the issues that I was having, I was able to problem solve, move forward through them, and they went away. So that's a plus and positive. Some of the things that we are involved in may not be nearly as much as we think them to be if we're able to get a night's sleep if we know that we aren't sleeping well. Here's some really good tips. I said that the back half, I'm going to kind of lay out some science-backed sleep tips. And again, these are from the mindful.org article because I think it's so good. So by establishing a routine that recognizes the body's natural response to light and dark can help keep your circadian rhythms in sync. So establishing a routine that recognizes the body's natural response to daylight and nighttime helps keep our circadian rhythms in sync. And here are some strategies to move toward having optimal circadian health. So circadian health is what promotes sleep. When we focus on having, again, these healthy habit patterns of having a balanced circadian cycle, that's going to improve and grow and foster and cultivate good sleep. So one of these, as I've talked about previously here, is sticking to a sleep and wake schedule. Try to maintain a consistent sleep and wake cycle, and thus a consistent dark light cycle by going to sleep and getting up at the same time every day. Try not to deviate more than an hour on weekdays and more than 2 hours on weekends. So we know that on weekends we may be going out or socializing or whatnot or with work schedule, but try to keep it within no more than 2 hours on weekends and no more than 1 hour on weekdays. So really shoring that in, really working to keep that consistent daytime and dark time schedule, or that dark and light cycle. Consider the quality of light. Get as much daylight exposure during the daytime. If natural light is not available, you can use bright blue and rich white light bulbs indoors. Sleep in the dark at night or wear an eye mask to block light from reaching the eyes. So if you've got a lot of devices in your room, make a note of that. Cover as many of them up as you can. Even though you may say these don't bother me, the light from those is messing with your circadian cycle that wants complete darkness. So notice, is the room you sleep in, does it have lights on? I mean, a night light in the bathroom is fine, or a slight night light in one area if you need that, that's fine. But do we have a lot of different electronics in our sleep room? So that is something to make a note of and get the room as dark as you can. Darkness keeps that healthy circadian cycle that we need that's going to give us the good sleep. Create a natural wind down lighting between dusk and dark. Just as the sun goes down, you can mimic that by fading light, by minimizing bright light and moving towards warmer orange light, which promotes sleep, ideally 3 hours before going to bed. So if you have all the lights turned up bright and high, turn some of those lights off. If they have a dimmer switch, dim some of those lights. If you've got a lot of lamps or floor lamps, maybe you can put in some different light bulbs in some of them. So doing this small activity, again, begins to show us the deep master clock in the brain of closing down, of shutting down. If we have heavy-duty bright light, I call it high sunlight, your body is going to want to continue to be alert and active, and that's not going to promote a healthy, full sleep. So moving from that bright white light, that rich light, into a more warmer orange light, ideally 2 to 3 hours before going to bed. Pay attention to your nighttime lights. Again, this goes to the quality of light. Any light tells the brain it's daytime, encouraging alertness, and suppresses melatonin, the hormone that tells the brain that it's night. If needed, use a dim red-orange night light in the hall or bathroom. So if you've got lights in the bathroom or hallway, pay attention to what kind of light that is and use a dim red or orange night light to minimize that bright light that can keep you awake and keep you from having a full sleep. Oh, here's one, sleep at night. So sleep tip 5, sleep at night. Focus on getting all of the sleep you need at night so you don't need a nap during the day. If you need to nap, make it short, no more than 20 minutes. So as a rule of thumb for myself, unless I am exhausted or traveling on a plane once in a while, I fall asleep, I don't take naps. If I've gotten the full abundant night's sleep, I am alert and able to go. I know that I can tell if I'm sleep deprived, if I'm in a meeting or given a quiet place to sit, if I start to nod off, that's telling me that I am not getting a full sleep, but I need to, that's my own reminder. Oh, am I sleeping the required hours? Typically 7 to 9 hours is what we as adults need. Some of you may need 6. Most of us need that 7 to 9 for our body to function at a strong cellular level. So sleeping at night, pretty basic. And making a note, if you are nodding off, feeling tired when you've been given permission to sit in a warmer room, a quiet meeting, or some other place, if you nod off, then that can be a sign to you that let's work on our sleep hygiene. Eat smarter. Avoid eating 3 hours before bedtime. Ideally, you want to consume more of your calories in the daytime when your metabolism is most active. That makes perfect sense. If we are sleep deprived, for whatever reason, we have a tendency to make up for that sleep deprivation by eating more. So weight gain can be a marker of sleep deprivation. And if you are a nighttime snacker, or you're rewarding yourself or eating out of boredom, or you know, you haven't eaten all day and you're getting all these calories in, that is not going to, that's going to keep your metabolism revved up. And if you're working to promote healthy sleep hygiene, make a note of what time you're going to go to bed versus the food you're putting in your mouth. And I know we can't always help this. Life happens, life is in the way. But if you like to snack, maybe notice when you're snacking and have that wrapped up with. Prior, 2 to 3 hours prior to going to bed, because I definitely agree. When you are snacking and then you go to bed, the body is busy working to digest that, and it's not going to give you the resources. The body's saying, you're awake, let's digest this. You're just not going to have a full, restful sleep. I know sometimes we go out and eat a really delicious but heavy restaurant meal to celebrate on the weekends, and maybe I'm up, depending on what time that meal is, it could be late. And then I go home, I don't sleep very well, because my body is so busy digesting and processing all that food I put in that I enjoyed, I just don't sleep well. So I know this for a fact. Eating and what time you eat matters. Practice screen hygiene. Dim the lights and don't use screens within 2 hours of bedtime. The blue light emitted from TV, tablet phones, and computers can have a delayed negative effect on your sleep. Even with the use of apps or eyeglasses that block blue light. Very interesting. The blue light emitted can have a delayed negative effect on your sleep, even with the use of apps. Sunglasses are blue or blocking blue light. So staying glued to your devices. Maybe, oh, I have to stay up and do all this work, or, gee, I want to reward myself, or I'm watching the show, or just checking all the my social media, can have a really negative impact on your sleep. And I know a lot of young people have their, and adults have their smartphone right by their bed. They have all the alerts going off at all hours of the night, and they're constantly checking. Well, how is that going to give you a good sleep? Give yourself permission to know that the world's not going to come to an end if you turn the volume off, shut it down, and go to sleep versus having all of your alerts throughout the night. The world is not going to come to an end if you miss out on whatever somebody was needing to say or alert you to at, you know, midnight, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Giving yourself, practicing screen hygiene. That's part of sleep hygiene. Establish a wind-down routine. So creating a transition time that separates day from night. Do something relaxing before bed, such as you can take a bath or a warm shower, such as listening to quiet meditation music, putting on an app that's got evening time meditation or music. You can do breathing exercises or some very slow, gentle stretches. Maybe if you enjoy a cup of non-caffeinated herbal tea, so doing things that signal relaxation and releasing from all of the good things that you did, backing, you know, giving yourself, pushing off from the day, thanking the day for all that you learned, all that you gave it, all that you received, and saying it's now time for me to rest, refresh, and renew so I can get up tomorrow and take an all new day. So having some type of routine, maybe it's a ritual, again, of bathing or showering or taking off your makeup or cleansing your face. Maybe it's ensuring that you've got your kitchen area cleaned and you've got something that's soothing music or meditation app, or you've done something special for yourself, signifies I'm pushing away from all the work I've done today and I'm going to move into sleep mode for my own renewal and refreshment. Maybe it's prior to sleep, hopefully not up right to that moment, that you're going to have your things ready to go. If you have an action-packed busy day, you're going to maybe have your laptop situated, your day timer, know where your clothes and shoes are, or kind of have a glance at what you're going to be eating or drinking as you start your day. So having things situated and ready to go, and then pushing away from that and just giving yourself permission to be quiet and still rather than jumping from major activity into bed, because that's when the tossing and turning and restlessness can take place. So pushing off from your day, putting distance between all the work you did by having some calming, soothing routines or rituals that set you up to go to bed feeling accomplished and ready to rest and sleep. Your sleep temperature of your room, I will say, does matter. If you have a really warm or stuffy room, maybe have a quiet fan in there, turn the temperature down. Science shows that when we sleep with a room that's cooler, 67 degrees or less, it promotes the body to go into a more thorough, full, restful sleep versus having a really hot, stuffy, or room that's highly heated. Again, diminishing as much light as you can, diminishing as much sound as you can. If you have a light noise machine, using that, or earplugs. I mean, if you have a really noisy area, doing all the things that you can to diminish noise, light, sounds, or, you know, just finding that to comfort yourself. I know I do this and it works very well for me because it's easy to get caught up in wanting to do just one more thing or to check. So giving yourself permission that this is you showing up for yourself to feel energized, creative, healthy, and whole. And what you do for yourself is going to flourish everyone in your household, everyone in your workplace, everyone that you have interactions with. So flourishing yourself is the first stance to flourish and produce beautiful qualities in all of your life. So those are the little tips that I hoped will get your creative juices flowing, that maybe change your perspective of things that you can do that are in your control to feel cared for and attended to. I'm Nancy, Authentic Self-Care with Nancy. I hope this information has been useful, helpful, and valuable to you today. If you would like to reach out to me, you want the show notes today, connect with me at nancy@nancystevenscoaching.com. You can find all this information if you click on show host and scroll down to my name and my page on newsforthesoul.com. I'm so thankful for you and your presence here today. You matter, I matter, and we all matter. Until next time, be well, be authentic, and move into the beautiful place that's yours. Thank you so much.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.